Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Serbian Corner. We have no music. A show where a couple of Serbians talk about the Nuggets on the DNVR YouTube channel and the DNVR Nuggets podcast feed. My name is Miroslav, and I am joined, as always, when there's actual basketball to be talked about, by Voja. Voja, how's the summer treating you, and how do you feel? And do you feel ready to talk some super intense hoops?
I am ready. Summer's great. I watched a lot of shows, movies. I'm almost done with the book. So when there's no basketball, I realize there's so much free time. So I'm ready to talk some hoops. We have finally Serbian basketball. We're not talking about the Nuggets. Talking about the Nuggets in Serbian uniform.
Yeah, let's just clear out the main things I have to say. So what we do on this show is a weekly recap of Nuggets basketball, quick takeaways, main themes, disagreements, and everything else. But since there are still 6 weeks to the start of NBA season, we are going to help you, the international Nuggets fan, to cope with the massive time period of watching the best player in the world, your Nikola Jokic, playing for the Serbian national team in the FIBA World Cup qualifying games, and right after that, in the Eurobasket. So we have some exclusive data you gathered from the insider, from the arena, because Serbia just finished their first preparation game against Montenegro in Belgrade Arena, I guess.
Yep.
How did the game go?
Serbia won 82-73. That was, I think, portals back home is reporting as well. I think they had some people there. Overall, I mean, good. I think like better than yesterday's scrimmage, because they played like 5-on-5 yesterday against each other. So had like teams 1 and 2. So that was much better. Jokic had his regular, you know, one of his games. Like had 23 minutes, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. 7 of 10 from the field, 7 of 9 from 2, 0, you know, 0-1 for 3. I don't think he had any free throws. He was like plus 13, index efficiency 25. So like his regular, like it's not just in the NBA. He has the efficiency range in Europe too. The rest of it is, I think it's going to ramp up. I think it's going to be better than obviously, then the next day will be better than the previous. I think that's kind of how it's going to trend. It was interesting. Just, you know, my friend was there doing the scorers table and statistics. So there's a lot of stuff. Obviously, I can't say. I don't want to get him in trouble with like interactions and jokes. It was mostly fun because Montenegro and Serbia, they're all friends basically. So it was just a lot of fun. But yeah, obviously, like it's overall for the camp, it's gonna be interesting how they set up the whole play. We know Teodosic was cut. You talked about that with the guys. Avramovic is hurt. I think Bjelica got hurt in the first few minutes. He got out of the game. Obviously, I have no idea if this is like gonna be public, but I mean, if Sport Club was there, I mean, you know, I can say it, I guess.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's gonna be anything serious. It was just a scrimmage, so better safe than sorry, probably then like he's not going to be playing. So the starting lineup was interesting, interesting setup. And then I think they had better lineups during the game than that starting lineup that kind of they kind of got there. Obviously, one thing that we'll talk about later with just some of the stuff like Jokic with the defense in these exhibition games, it's kind of like Tuesday against the Pistons, like players against him are usually scoring a lot. So that's the only thing I'm like, I hope that doesn't happen in the tournament, but yeah, no, that's like the quick recap. Yeah.
He locked down when it will
be. Yeah, needed, exactly. Yeah. Of course. So one anecdote from this game was, as we're used to seeing him like call out other people's plays, and he had that at Austin Rivers lob. Montenegro called the play, and he basically called out like, oh, this, he told the other guy like, oh, they're going to screen that side, not my side. So be ready. It's that's not the regular play they're on or something like that. So that was really obviously fun every time he does that. So that was cool. And then we'll go into other players and how they perform when we get to the, I guess you're playing with the ranking of most important guys. So this is a quick Montenegro recap.
Sure. Before that,
let's
Rakia,
do it.
Rakia shot. So Rakia is the Serbian national alcoholic drink, usually taken before dinner to make a toast. So what this segment is a quick headline, something that made an impression on us quickly and strongly. And for this episode's Rakia shot, I've chosen the FIBA World Cup qualifying games that will happen on August 25th in Belgrade Arena with our DNVR guys in the stands as well, mm-hmm. versus Giannis, and also in August 28th in Turkey. So to explain how difficult this is, first of all, it's happening a week before the start of the Eurobasket. So you need to make your guys be on the top of their form just before they start the Eurobasket, which is insanity. They should ramp up during the Eurobasket and be ready for the top 16 game, which is the first game that will actually decide if you're going for the medals or not. But since FIBA did us a bad favor with the World Cup qualifying games, right now I want to show you how dire the situation right now for Serbia is. So right now, Serbia is in a group with Greece, Latvia, Turkey, Belgium, and Great Britain. And right now they're positioned at the position number 5, and only top 3 teams will qualify for the World Cup. You have Belgium, that has the same that has one win more than Serbia. Am I watching this proper? Let me see it like this. Yeah, Belgium has one win more than Serbia, and actually they have two wins more because they have a tiebreaker. They won 2 games against Serbia in the previous stage. And then you have Turkey with one win more, and they will meet Turkey 2 times. So hopefully if they win 2 of those games against Turkey, they will have better chances to qualify for the World Cup. How do you feel about this? Because you see, we have these 2 games in August, and then they have another 2 games in November, and then another 2 games in February next year. And those 4 games will be without our best players, without NBA players, probably without EuroLeague players as well. But that might change, actually. There are some hopes that EuroLeague players might play for the national teams at that position. How do you feel about Serbia's chances of even qualifying for the World
Cup? Not very good. Overall, there's more chances that we're not going to be in the World Cup than we're going to qualify. You said it with the tiebreak with Belgium. That was insane. That was some weird stuff. The first game we were up a lot, and then the lights came, went down in the arena. There was like a big break. Then they had to ramp back up, and they lost the game. There were some delays in the second game in Serbia, and then we lost that weirdly as well in the buzzer or something. So very, very odd stuff. Again, this is kind of a weird FIBA stuff. They're doing a disservice to a lot of these countries that have good players that are in EuroLeague and NBA. First off, NBA, they never obviously allow players to just go mid-season. It's not like soccer where they have like weekends for national play. The weird thing is with the EuroLeague and FIBA fighting over their leagues and stuff, it's a lot of politics. And so they're players from EuroLeague can't play in the national team as well. So that basically eliminates 90% of our best roster for Serbia. So that's kind of crappy. All these other, like, in quotes, like, developing countries with, for basketball, developing countries like Belgium and, you know, Finland, all these, they're not traditionally basketball countries. They can first invest a decent amount of money, more than the rest of us. And then also have domestic leagues that can develop their players and have chemistry during the season, so those players can actually play in the qualifiers. Nevertheless, like, we should have won more games than this. It does suck, and now it's like you're playing against full team Greece and full team Turkey in your most inopportune moments, because they're also the same problem with them as with us. Like, their best teams are not, they don't play on the qualifiers usually, because of them being at EuroLeague. So we'll see. It doesn't bode well, because they have to win those two games, then hope something else happens. They have to win the other ones without their best players. And that's the problem, is like, all these young guys that were playing for the national teams and the qualifiers, they're already getting better and better and getting into these better clubs. And so we're basically left with just domestic league guys, and it's not really great. It's one of those worst decisions the FIBA has made. They expanded the World Cup to a lot of countries, but then they also made this weird. It used to be just a month of, in the off season, you used to qualify.
Fucked up the qualifiers, yeah.
Yeah, because it used to be like, in the off season, you go and do the qualifiers and then you go fourth, and now it just becomes weird. So not good for Serbia. It would be really odd to see a World Cup without us, but it is what it is. I mean, everyone has to adapt to it. So,
yeah, the problem is Serbia is a very good basketball nation, but the base of players Serbia has is much smaller comparing to the base of players countries like Spain or Italy have. Even because if you lose all of your EuroLeague players, and that's like 30 guys, that's much worse for you than for, let's say, Latvia, who has only 10 guys in EuroLeague. So they lose 10 of their guys, and you lose 30 of your guys. So when you look at it, yeah, it's bad for good teams, but it's especially bad for good teams from small countries.
Exactly.
So it's a tough situation. Let's talk a bit about the two opponents for the qualifiers. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Greece. What do you see? Did you get the chance to watch a game by Greece?
I caught some of it, not a lot. As far as I've seen, just their roster honestly was enough for me to know that the game's not going to be close for, you know, with Spain. Spain is always in the top of the favorites and stuff, just because of tradition, and you don't want to bet against them in general. Like, that 2019 team showed it, and like the one, I think 2015 European Championship with Gasol being like 40 years old, like, they won that one. So you never want to bet against their great coach, and they all still have some of these veterans in there. But Greece is one of the strongest teams, in my opinion, probably the favorite. If I had to pick a favorite, besides, like,
let's see the players. So we have four Adetokounmpo brothers. I don't know how many of them will finish on the top 12.
So I think Kostas, he played in France last year, and he was the one with the Lakers. There was the third youngest, or maybe the youngest, but the tallest of them. He was really decent in Asvel and Giannis, obviously. So I think two of them, that's a really good center lineup, because that's, and then they have, you know, we can, let me see, pull up.
They the have rest, Nick Kalaitis, Tyler Dorsey, Papayannis, Sacramento legend.
Yeah.
Kostas Lukas.
So basically it's interesting, because those are some of the names, like, obviously, they're, when you talk about in the NBA community, like Papayannis, Lukas, like, people will scoff at it. The thing is, that's it's a long time ago. Like, Kalathis is good, but the main thing there is that Kalathis was one in Memphis that people were like, kind of, you know, it's kind of a comedic punchline in Memphis fans, and obviously Papayannis with Kings, but Papayannis is really good and was really good in the last few years, and like huge. A regular center. He was drafted too high, so expectations were like through the roof, but not, it shouldn't have been that. Kostas Lukas is one of those, like, the most clutches, one of the more clutch guys that Greece ever had. Like, you know, the basically, like, played for, I don't know, now 15 years, the at the same level, you know, kind of point guard, shooter, again, clutch. So he you know, and he doesn't need too many minutes to make an impact in the team. Tyler Dorsey, obviously, if people follow college, he used to be in Oregon, I think. I think might have been in Dylan Brooks's generation. So that's an interesting, basically like naturalized player. They got a passport. Mandzukas, they have one of the, basically like they're like regular best teams that they can pull. And with Antetokounmpo being who he is and being like, I'm not going to have the ball in my hands all the time. I don't want that. I want the win. Finally, they brought it to this as their coach, one of the greatest coaches in Europe. He was the best man, or he's like in a godfather type relationship with Zeko Obradovic. He won a lot in CSKA Moscow, so he actually will know how to use Giannis. And we saw against Spain, like he was using him as a center, and Giannis was fine. Let me do that. I just want to win, and that was always the issue with Greece national team. It wasn't Giannis was bad; it's that the people didn't know. They were afraid, I think, to implement some different things because they thought, okay, he's the best player. He should just have the ball in his hands all the time. So finally, they're using him as they should.
Yeah, and also, I mean, they did, you know, not leave the group stage back in 2019. So I was trashing them a bit because I enjoy trashing Greece because Greece is a traditional rival of Serbia and Yugoslavia, so I like to trash them.
And we always kick their asses, so that's also
that's also part of it. Although recently we've had some hiccups against them, to be honest. But the thing is, as you said, they will use him more smartly this time around. And also, let's not forget that he's a much much better player than he was 3 years ago. That's a big difference. I was looking at his stats season by season, and it's insanity. Actually, in his first like 7 seasons, Jokic is so much better than him. But when you look at these last couple of seasons, he's really catching up to Jokic, even though, you know, he's a more experienced guy there. So really impressive stuff from let's say honestly, like the best player in the world or co-best player in the world, next to our Nikola. Okay, let's move to the Turkey now. So Serbia got a bit of a lucky break because they're playing Greece at full strength at home, so that makes it more probable for them to win them, even if they don't. And I feel that Turkey got a bad break playing Serbia at full strength in Istanbul, because, you know, I don't think Turkey is as good as Greece for sure, and as Serbia. So since the best version of Serbia is coming to Istanbul to play there, I think Serbia has a better chance at winning there than if they would play without EuroLeague guys and everybody else. So who plays for Turkey? We've seen that Tyler Dorsey, American guy, is playing for Greece. Now we have Shane Larkin, even a bigger name, I guess, in EuroLeague level. American guy. Then they have Chetty Osman, they have Alperen Şengün, they have Furkan Korkmaz. Do you see any other interesting names?
I think Sertab Sanli, I think he's a center. I mean, Mamutoglu, I think, is like a dead-eye shooter type. And I don't know, there might be some like younger guys that I've kind of missed. Basically, I mean, they don't have them, man. The thing is with them is they're always tricky with, especially playing against us. But you're right. We're at full strength. It shouldn't be that big of an issue. But again, you have Chetty, Shane, Alper, Şengün. Like you need a few guys in these, you know, national league teams to be the guy. You don't need, it's not the NBA. It's like you don't need like 7 guys. You just need two or three really good ones, and then everyone else to just know their role and perform what they're, you know, within their lane. You know, if you're open, make a shot. And the thing is, you got to understand, you'll see, I think, in the Eurobasket, for all the American fans that watch, you'll see just how how constantly everyone is shooting, like consistently people are shooting. It's maybe they're not making like playmaking shots like the NBA. Like they're not going to step back you and, you know, do the, you know, Bones Highland stuff or James Harden's. But if their moves and their like tactics within the game work, they might, you know, when the open shots are open, most likely they're making those. And that's another thing is a lot of plays in the NBA, because it's a long season, they're simplified because of so many, you know, you also want to keep some in the playoffs, but they're simplified within the season. But in Europe, like, again, because it's different also strategy, there's no defensive 3 seconds. It's more gets condensed on defense. You have to run a lot of motion, a lot of actual plays. My friends always joke with me, like, zipper action in Europe is just to get the guy open to actually start a regular. So their main set, and in NBA, zipper is to score. Yeah. That's what you see also in the European basketball as well. Like, it'd be a lot of stuff going on the court. Like, you might think like they're just running around without any purpose, but it's a lot of action and motion. And
it's very scripted,
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. That's why it's like you need one or two guys in case there's something, you know, the other team is really good. And on defense, you need them then to take over, which again, with Serbia, we have Jokic, Greece has Giannis. And then for Turkey's example, you have less of them. Like, so you're relying a lot on Chetty Osman, which I don't think he proved in their national team that he can carry it that much. So it'll be interesting to see how Şengün fits into that. He's very interesting, but also young. And if Furkan Korkmaz is what he is. Like, he's a shooter and he can maybe do some stuff. But that game, I'm not as worried, although there shouldn't be like a written in win.
Yeah, of course, Turkey is a much better team playing at home than playing anywhere outside of Turkey. We all remember Turkey being world number two back in 2010 when the World Cup happened in Istanbul. And we do remember how they ejected us in the semifinals game, which wasn't
rather
nice.
Not.
Yeah, I remember. But we do remember a guy stepping out of bounds. Okay, so Voya, listen, I am super hungry, and we are going to have two bureks of the week this time around. So first of all, burek is a nice juicy pastry dish that comes either with cheese, spinach, or meat. And it's well known because Nikola Jokic used to eat it a lot when he was younger, around the time he was turning pro. So this segment is the best thing of the week, what we like the most, what is the juiciest storyline, performance, or a whole game. Basically, our high-calorie count topic we like the most. So for our first burek today, we are not going to try to guess which 12 guys will be Serbia's national team on the Eurobasket, because even when you have a very educated guess, you cannot get it for sure, because there's always some last-minute injuries, or even some guys at the last minute can recover from injuries. So we have no idea who the final 12 guys will be. But we can talk about the main guys we feel, the guys that will have the main role on this tournament. So let me just start. Let me try sharing my screen. Oh, this is... Okay. Okay, we are doing it live. Where is it?
It's probably Jokic.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start with Nikola Jokic. I guess he should have a pretty big role on this tournament. First of all, do you think that we will finally see Nikola as the main guy, the central piece of the Serbian national team?
Yeah, I think so. I think even these last couple of days, from what I was talking to a friend that was in the arena when the practices and all, it does seem like it. Vasa Mitic has the ball, but it's like the Jamal Murray type has the ball. Like, it looks like that's how it's going to be. And considering also the stats that he had today, especially with like 16.8 rebounds, 6 assists, doesn't that remind everyone of the per 36, like, you know, would be what he has in the NBA. So good efficiency, you know, decent amount of shots, like 10 shots in a 40-minute game, and he played 23 minutes. Like, it's not even like, you know, playoff game. It just took a warm-up style. So even in a warm-up, he had those stats and that type of shooting. I think that they're I really want to see how it looks, but as so far on paper and how what I'm told, it does seem that he's going to be the main guy, which is logical. What do you think would be the best way to use him? Do you think, you know, as same as the Nuggets, basically copy the playbook or try something differently?
I always talk about Coach Pešić because he is the guy that will engineer Serbia's game here. And what he did back in 2002, he leaned heavily on Vlade Divac, Peđa Stojaković, kind of a two-man game. And of course, using Dejan Bodiroga as a third guy, clutch guy who was making all the tough shots.
He's the closer for baseball people.
yeah, something like that. Even though I have no idea what baseball really is. So I really think that Coach Pešić will continue with that and just use Nikola as much as he can in a role similar to the one he has on the Nuggets. And to be honest, when you look at the Serbia national team around him, he was building it pretty much to give him enough defenders. Well, at least I hope he will be playing with mostly defenders around him and also some pretty good shooters on that team as well. So you could make a kind of a clone of Denver Nuggets basketball there. I'm really sad that the tenure of Igor Kokoškov didn't last longer because he was actually trying to have Michael Malone on the coaching staff. But Svetislav Pešić used to spend some time in the U.S. as well. He was working a lot with Coach Pop, for instance, and also with Pat Riley in the past. So I'm pretty sure that he's confident in using Nikola Jokic the right way, and that's Denver Nuggets basketball, if you want to call it Jokic ball.
So, Jokic ball, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because I would say like Jokic brought that our style of basketball to the Nuggets, and then they just let him. Then they formed around him, and then they realized like, oh my god, this is easy and fun to play, and then everyone adapted to it, like. And you know, got the freedom to be like, hey, read the court, not just, you know, you don't have to just sit in the corner if we tell you to. Like, you can cut, read Jokic. Like, you know, he taught, you know, the famous like Adams List with PJ Dozier, be like teaching them to react and not just like roam around like aimlessly. I agree. Like, it'd be fun to see. I can't wait for the first game just to see how that looks because we've never seen it before. Basically, like in this kind of situation, like there was always the things that we always strong with guards. So there's always Bogdanović, Teodosic. So it was a lot of ball movement and wasn't focused through him. He was involved, but it was a lot of just flex. You know, get everyone the ball, move around, and then heavy on the pick and roll with the guards. You know, making this ultimate decisions. So obviously, I would want Bogdan to be on the team. Like I'm not saying. It would be bad, but I'm saying even with Bogdan on the team, we would see, I think, shift towards Jokic more and then everyone else kind of fitting around him.
And what is a good thing about Jokic ball on the Serbian national team? It's a team made out of really high IQ players. It's because these guys, as I kid around a couple of weeks ago on the Serbian corner segment, I said, it's just a bunch of white guys. There are no extreme athletes on this team, so these guys need to be really high IQ guys in order to be on the top level of European basketball. So yeah, you can rely on their IQ, even though you cannot rely really on them being high flyers and maybe amazing finishers.
That's fair. Although I will say, we'll talk about them. Kalinic and Lucic are really athletic, but I get what you mean. It's a lot of. Again, it's a lot of that, what we talk about in, you know, Jokic type of guys. Like when there were guys were picking players that would be intelligent enough to play around Jokic. And it's not just intelligence. It's not that, you know, other basketball players are dumb. It's just the style, what they're used to.
Oh,
like we talk about just like getting used to that, growing up with that system and like, you know, being taught that way. It'll be fun. I'm excited. What's next? so I don't like jump into another topic.
Yeah, so I think we can move now to Vasa Micic, who is, I think, the second most important guy on this team. He is a two-time EuroLeague MVP. He's a guy that has...
Yeah, he's two-time finals and once regular season.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so basically the best player in Europe for the last 2 years.
Yep.
Which is not a very common thing, to be honest. We had some guys like Dejan Bodiroga, like Nemanja Bjelica, like Bogdan Bogdanović. All of these guys used to be MVPs of EuroLeague, but it's not very common to Luka Doncic. But it's not very common to be a repeated MVP. So it's a big deal. And Vasa is a guy, I always say he's a guy with like a 25 pound cojones in his shorts. He's a guy who is so clutch. He can play both guard positions. He's really just a really, really good player. He's pretty big. He's 6'5", so he won't be harassed on defense as well. What do you think is the best way for Serbian team to use Vasa Micic in this tournament?
You want to switch the picture while I...
Yeah, I don't think I have a picture of Vasa for reason. So,
you're right with him with clutch stuff, and that was interesting. He had an interesting career too. Like he wasn't right off the bat. I played against him because we're the same age, so we're in the Belgrade 1 year. My team, like smaller team, qualified for the higher up league, and he was in there. And I don't even know if he played both games against us. He was basically probably one game, and then the other game was like, these are scrubs I don't need to play against. Both games, so they were like resting, you know, load managing and stuff. He was really good. I mean, remember, then I went to see him in against another team of our age, and I mean, it was amazing. But thing with him, and then he was supposed to be much better. Then he had the thing in Europe that is kind of interesting more than the NBA, is that you can have a trajectory like a high recruited, you know, parallel with college, like high recruited guy that doesn't pan out immediately. But then there's enough room to breathe. There's enough clubs, enough leagues that you can reset your career. Like Bo Marjanovic was like that, like, you know, for people that weren't aware of his career as well. Like he was high and then he was bought by a big club and then he had to like go back to Mega and like basically rehab his like career. And then he was the MVP of the EuroLeague and then he went to the NBA. So with Vasa, it was kind of similar. He was Bayern Munich, then went to Red Star, really wasn't even shooting well in Red Star, wasn't that great. Got to Turkey, like a small club, a couple of small clubs. Then also went to Žalgiris, worked with great coaches, and now he becomes the, twice best player in EuroLeague at 28 years old. So that part is really like admirable so people know his trajectory of why he's full of confidence, and because he had to work to get there. It wasn't just here it is. So his role is going to be interesting. I liken his role to Jamal Murray, and I hope that's the role that he can have. Because we've seen him, he played Final Four in Belgrade. Like you would see some of the moves, you know, step back three for the win, like in the semifinal game. Like it was do or die stuff. And I hope, and he had decent guys to play pick and roll with in Anadolu Efes, where he played. And obviously you get now Jokic and you get Milutinov to like pair up with him, whoever, for the pick and roll. That's like two best centers for that style of play in the world, in my opinion. So I'm really excited again to see him. He has a little bit of the fire in him too. Like he can get nervous. So hopefully he won't go too far into like negative when something doesn't go well. He had ups and downs during the season in EuroLeague, some of the coaches' disagreements and stuff. But ultimately, like, he's so good that the coach couldn't even like bench him for like some of the attitude stuff. It's basically like classic Serbian stuff. Like just hot, you know, like I'm so wired up to play. Like then he kind of spills over. That's like it's hard to explain. Like the Jokic is the mellow guy in Serbian standards. So that's why, you know, Vasa, that's why I think that's why we said he's the second most important guy. Like I was expecting a lot of pick and rolls, creation, even if off ball at some points, depending on the lineups, but overall great. What do you think?
Hopefully we will not see a lot of minutes without Nikola and Vasa off, you know, off the court. Mm-hmm. I hope we will see at least one of them for all 40 minutes in every, you know, game that is close enough for that. And I mean, mm-hmm. if it's just a blowout, of course, it's a different thing. But yeah, as you said, Vasa should work really well with Nikola Milutinov as well. So you have that kind of stagger of your starters. And yeah, that's pretty sweet. How do you feel about Nikola Jokic playing next to Jaramaz or maybe Nedović as a second tier point guard, let's say?
Yeah, Nedović is interesting because I don't think you should let him play too much on a point guard role, like burden him too much with creation. I think he's more like, let's just give him ball to score. So I would like at least have Jokic, you know, if they're on the court together, have at least another creator with Nedović there so he doesn't get overwhelmed with the decision making. Because if he has to set up the whole offense, then it's a little bit of trouble. You want him to be the finisher, like, you know, downhill towards the basket or just a shooter. But with Jokic, the thing is, that's what we talked about always here. Like, everyone can play with him. I legitimately think so. And
you don't need an actual point guard, really.
Yeah, and I think he's at that point where we had an interview with Ognjen Stojaković that we played today in our channel, and we had on our Nugget Serbia Twitter. I had some translated stuff, and one of them was what changed in the last 2 years is the leadership, and it's one of those, like, it's not advertised all that often. We assumed it's better. Some guys were saying he talks, but it always sounds like a cliche, but coming from, like, the assistant coach, one of his, like, best friends, that was the first thing he gravitated towards. Like, he wasn't talking about, oh, he, like, scores every time. So he's like, first thing is, like, he's a better leader. Like, yeah. He's now not just a great player. He's a great leader. And I hope that – well, I think that also will translate into Serbia. Like, he's very mellow and stuff, but when actually tournament starts, I think he'll take over. So I don't think that – you're right. Like, you might not need a point guard – traditionally, like, you might be able to set up stuff, and then you just need guys to be able to read, and that's or finish, like. So I think that'll be fine. And I you're right, with two of them should always play. And then I think also, kind of like the Nuggets, like, it's a 40 minute game, so I would think either of them should always be out of the court. Like, you don't want both of them on the bench. Yeah. So I think, like, you know, if Jokic goes out and Milutinov comes in, you have Vasa in. Jokic comes back in, Vasa can go rest. You have Jokic with other guys. So I think that's like, also you have, you know, we'll talk about Kalinic, Lucic. They can both create, so we can move on if you want. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. We'll be talking about some other guys now, but we'll circle back to Nikola Jokic often, and it's DNVR Nuggets podcast. So what you gonna do? So
it's all centered. I mean, yeah, we have to, because it's all centered, like, how they fit against the best player, like, it or with best player. Yeah, so this is, yeah, you want to
Nikola Kalinic. Nikola Kalinic, who played for Red Star Belgrade last season, he'll be playing in Barcelona next year, right? He is amazing. He's an amazing player. I was actually pretty surprised that he played for Red Star last year, because I'm sure he had a much wealthier offer from somebody else, because he really is one of the, I don't know, top 10 European player might be too low on him. I don't know how you feel about him. He's an amazing guy. He plays the three. He plays the four. He can play as a bit of a two, I guess, as well. He can guard from 1 to 4.
All of them. I think or
maybe
five.
Even one to five.
Especially in Europe, yeah.
Yeah, especially in Europe. Really, really great guy. He's also pretty clutch. He can hit some really important shots as well. You see him as a starter on this tournament, right?
Yeah, no question. So with him, he's also one of those guys that was plucked out of obscurity by a late Dušan Ivković, one of the coaches that we won a few medals with. He was just in a regular Serbian league team. He was on the university national team for Serbia, so wasn't even on the pro side of the national team. Then he got plucked. Was a bad championship, you know, bad European championship for us, 2013. But the most positive thing that came out was him. That, oh wow, he's like one of those. It's like a glue guy type, like all the dirty work, connector between, you know, your front backcourt, obviously defense, athleticism. Like he had one of the best, like one of the most, you know, fist pumps, yelling off the couch, like jumping off from the couch plays I've ever seen was 2014 against Greece. That's where you're talking about Greece hasn't won. Basically, like that was the ender. For one of the first games of the first plays of the quarterfinals, I think he gets the ball in the fast break. Greece has a stacked team. We're coming as the last team in our group qualifying to the quarterfinals. So they're the first team in their group. We're the last. They're the favorites. Kalinic comes out one of the first plays of the game. I think it was 0-0 might have been, or like 2-0 for someone. He dunks over one of their best centers, like a legendary Borussis. It was over. Like we won easily. We got on, you know, when played against America in the finals. It was unbelievable. So he's that guy. The reason you said you weren't, you know, it was surprising that he got to Red Star. Very smart move, because he got the chance to be a playmaker in Red Star, not just, you're going to be our defender 3-and-D type. Well, he's not a great shooter, but like defensive cutter, you know, all around guy. Like he was actually, okay, we're going to create from you awesome in the low post. Like I watched him live when I was in Serbia over the winter break. Unbelievable. Even though he can't shoot, like he demands such gravity around him. Again, with Jokic, defensively reads all the stuff, can cut. Awesome, like I said, awesomely, and can dunk over guys in the baseline. So, and Pešić for him said he's the most important player in our national team, and he wasn't a surprise. Obviously, it's one of those like, you know, type of analytical type of like, yeah, Jokic is the best player, of course, but then the most important, like, that's gonna get you to the gold is a player like him, player like Kalinic, and again another Nikola. So I have three of them right now.
You can even say that he's kind of the Aaron Gordon of this team.
Yeah, yeah,
and what is interesting is that the next guy, Vladimir Lucic, he is also kind of the Aaron Gordon of this team. Yeah. Yep. So both of these
shoots
guys,
better.
Yeah, he's a better shooter than Kalinic. But I mean, I would say that these guys together playing in the starting lineup would be kind of like Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter, even though either of these guys are not even remotely.
You know
close
how
to
it would be, I think.
Could have a shot.
It's Aaron Gordon and Mikal Bridges. That's kind of like if you put them together, you know, with Jokic, that's kind of the style. If Eve Lucic is even, I think, even more decisive on offense. But that would be like if the NBA, you want to translate the type of player, it's like Mikal Bridges, Aaron Gordon, and then you have them around Jokic. Like, just imagine the possibilities. On defense with two of them, and then the runouts and leakouts and dunks and cutting. It's just I'm so excited. That's why I'm like I'm so giddy. I was waiting for these two guys to start talking about their fit with Jokic because I'm so excited. And then the info that we got, they're great. Obviously together, like in practice, they were just all over the place, like controlling everything. Again, with Jokic's communication and calling out stuff, and their quickness as well. Like that's the trio I can see. You know, obviously Vasa is important. We said why and the ball handling, but this trio can get you to the title. I really believe that.
Yes, Vladimir Vucic is a legend of Partizan Belgrade, and he's also a legend of Bayern Munich, where he's playing for many years now. He is right now, I think, 33 or 34 years old.
But is he really that old?
Yeah, he
is. That's crazy.
Yeah, he is, but he's still like our Jeff Green, I might say. So he's an older guy, but he's super athletic for a Serbian.
Yeah, he's 33. Guy. Wow,
33. Yeah, yeah, I know. But he's playing forever, man. He used to play for Partizan like 15 years ago. So
it's not a big
surprise for me. Vladimir Lucic and Nikola Kalinic, everybody should focus on these two guys because they're going to make great things. They can guard like Kalinic. Lucic also can guard guards and forwards and whatever. I don't know about the real fives, but other than that, a really great defender. And I'm really, really excited to see. They didn't start together on this game against Montenegro today, but I think at one point we'll see those guys together.
They don't start in my
house. Even though we always say it's not a big deal who starts, it's a big deal who finishes the games. So even if we don't love the starting lineup, that doesn't mean that that's the lineup that will play the most minutes or whatever.
Exactly.
These guys are not fighting for contracts playing for a national team. They're fighting for their
gold.
Comrades and the gold.
And Lucic always had, like, knock on wood, like, hopefully he's just completely healthy. He always had the unfortunate situation that every time he gets to the national team, he's hobbled or gets re-injured because he's so utilized everywhere he goes. He's so good that the teams can't afford to, like, have him play for only 25 minutes. He plays routinely over 30 and is, it does a lot of stuff. And his style of play is, like, he just dies for the ball. Like, he'll dive in the stands. Like, he will, defensively, he doesn't take off a beat, running always. So his, like, style of play just expends him throughout the year. And then by the time national team comes around, he's never 100%. So hopefully this time, he was hurt during the season a little bit. So hopefully he's completely healthy to show what he can do. Because he also had a lot of games this year where he also created, not just 3-and-D. So that's, almost like it was gearing up. Well, both of these guys were gearing up to play against Jokic, just all over, doing extra stuff. And I'm so excited. Like, as everyone can see, I'm giddy about these two.
Yeah, and I really hope he'll stay healthy. If you remember, he was one of the guys missing from that 2017 team that played the EuroBasket. They won the silver medal. But if Vladimir was there, it would be a gold medal. No questions asked.
That 2017 was one of the craziest. We had like 5-6 guys missing, and the second string point guard that turned into a star got hurt in the final game against Slovenia. So that was just like a lot of caveats for that Slovenia win.
It was too much.
Also, Luka
too much.
Got hurt. So
Also, Anthony Randolph is a legend of Slovenia. But what you gonna do? Okay, let's move on.
Let's go.
Nikola Milutinov. So
this is the third Nikola. Yeah,
he is the third Nikola. He is, or maybe the second. I don't know.
The one we mentioned. It's the third one we mentioned today.
Sure. So look at this guy. He looks like a star of the TV show Vikings.
Yes.
So he is such a specimen. He is the top level center in Europe for the last 10 years or something. Maybe not 10 years. He's like 27, 28, I want to say.
Yeah, he's my age
right
too.
Now.
He's 28.
Yeah.
Last five, he's probably like, let's say, safely say five-ish years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Great player. Also legend of Partizan Belgrade. I don't know why I'm mentioning that. But he will be Nikola's substitute. I hope we will not see a lot of minutes of Nikola and Nikola together in the lineup. But you know what?
Depends
on
who.
It might be a smart idea for certain teams like France.
Yeah, they're smart. These two can work because they worked in the 2019 after we got eliminated and played those qualifying.
Yeah.
It wasn't a problem that Jokic was 4, whatever, 5. Like, it was just the other stuff around, like the style of play, not just the position. That was like reported here, like, oh, if he was playing a 4, it was underutilized. Underutilized at the 4 too. Like, it was just basically spreading the court and like spacing. And it wasn't that, when he got the ball more and Milutinov was with him, that was poetry too. Like, high lows with two of them, like, and, pick and rolls with two bigs. Like, people didn't know what to do with them. So it's amazing. And this guy, did we say, like, it's one of those funniest things. Like, he's Jokic's, like, sub. He's like a second string center. It's basically like when you find it funny that Embiid's a second team all NBA because you have Jokic ahead of him.
Yeah.
This guy is like unbelievable. One of the best rollers in pick and roll in Europe, again, in the last like 15 years, probably since like Mike Batiste, in my opinion. And again, defensively unbelievable, smart. He has, smooth hand, like most of Serbian players do. It's funny that he's your substitute. Like, you might be improving on defense when Jokic subs out and he comes in. You go back to like the traditional European style, like a lot of pick and roll and handoffs and stuff, more mobility again, I guess. He had injury problems a lot, even this season. That's the only thing that like messes him up every year, to not to win an MVP or something. Just like, he tweaks stuff in his body often. So that's the that's the fear now, but he should be at least for that second string center. He should be dominant enough against other guys that are not the first center. So even if he's not 100%. So yes, he's also great. I mean, that's the thing is like that front line for Serbia is great. We didn't even mention like Bielica yet, and he's a champion, and he's not, he's just like an afterthought compared to these guys.
Yeah, we'll explain that
in
a minute. So next guy, this is a small photo. Sorry about this. So this is Ognjen Dobrić, who is a guy I would love to see in the starting lineup or playing a lot of minutes.
Red Star legend.
Red Star legend, Ognjen Dobrić, yes. He'll be playing in Russia next year, right?
I think he's in Red Star again.
Oh, then that's Davidovac. Sorry, that's Davidovac.
Yeah,
sorry.
Maybe.
Yeah. All those Red Star players look the same to me. Sorry. So I'm just kidding. So Dobrić is a really, really good defender. And if you have Dobrić and Vasa Micić as your backcourt, you can feel pretty confident that you will have a good perimeter containment on this Eurobasket. Do you have a lot of thoughts about Dobrić? His role? Can you make a parallel to a Denver Nugget player, maybe?
It would be, I mean, like Gary was kind of how he was. Maybe if it was more of a small forward right now, it could be the Bruce Brown type. Maybe.
Yeah.
He's one of those like old school guys for Serbia, like the we call, you know, the dogs. We call them like, you know, they're dogs. He was a scrimmage yesterday. My friend told me he like dove into the stands. He dove into there's advertisements on the side of the court in the arena. He dove into that at a scrimmage. So that should tell you. He's shooter, great shooter, lefty. Red Star legend. Like my friend loves it. My friend is like so conflicted now because he wants him healthy for the Red Star season that he almost doesn't want him to be in the national team just so he can be healthy for Red Star. I watched him live. He was battling some stuff this year. So he wasn't 100% during the season, but hopefully during the summer he's much better. I don't know if that's the thing is there's a lot of these scorer guards types on the team, and I don't know if he'll start, but he might close some games. I wouldn't be surprised because, again, he can shoot. It was funny. I remember playing against him really young. We were in like seventh, eighth grade maybe. And he was in like a really small club. We used to beat him by like 30, 40 points, but he was always like score all of their points. And then he got picked out of there outside of Belgrade into the Red Star stuff. And again, like Kalinic, Lucic, if you want to have a defensive lineup, you want them on your team. Like you don't mess around with that because some of the other guys are good defensively. But all in all, these Eurobaskets, World Cups and stuff, they're so condensed in games in so many days. Defense is the thing that travels, like always, and you don't want to lack that area. Because we saw 2015 when we were offensive juggernauts and we looked like we're going to destroy everyone. We were offensively oriented team more, and then once the shot stops at some point because it's 5 days in a row of playing games, you have to have a defensive team. So again, Spain proved that in 2019 as well. And so that's why you're right. That's why we put him on the list. He probably will at this point go because there's not a lot of players to put ahead of him, especially with that skill. But he might not even go, and we're putting him in an important spot.
Yeah, well, let's hope he goes because we need that defensive juice.
Yep.
And another guy, the last guy we'll be talking about today on Serbian national team. Why is this not moving? Oh, let me check. Yeah, okay. So it's Nemanja Bjelica, and you might be surprised at this because, you know, he is the second NBA player on this team, even though he will not be playing in the NBA next season. He signed for Fenerbahce in Turkey next year, the place where he used to be the EuroLeague MVP like 7-8 years ago, maybe a bit less than that. He is a great player. He is one of the smartest players ever to play from Serbia. He used to play everything from point guard to, I guess, center in recent years as well.
Yeah.
And you can imagine he's also the rescue story. He used to play somewhere in nowhere Austria before actually Coach Pešić took him out of that hell of unknownness and brought him to Red Star. And
yeah, it was in Vienna playing for like a team.
Yeah, like nobody knew about him, nothing about him, and Coach Pešić just took him.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, 68 guys, like, yeah, he played point guard. Like, he was legit. Like, it wasn't like, oh, he was a Jokic playmaker type. No,
he was a real
player. Here's the ball in your hands. You're going to get it across the half court line, initiate offense, do that stuff. And it's insane. That's why one of my biggest, like, I'm so sad that he went to the NBA eventually, or like at least went to the Wolves, because I used to love watching him play. And he was so athletic. I sent like Brendan Vogt and I don't know if we sent Adam his highlights and stuff. So like, just look, because again, people laugh at him sometimes, like, oh, he's holding up against Tatum, or like he's following guys good on defense and all that. And always just a chucker, like he shoots and whatever, he gets the ball. Just like watch some of his highlights and like from the 2015 season, I think that's when or 2013, 14, where he was the MVP. It's unbelievable. He's dunking on guys, like, and it's not, oh, it's Europe, so it's whatever. Like, he's dunking for real. Like, those guys were like real, like creating, reading off the ball stuff, like shooting. He was all around player. And then he goes to the Wolves, and he was cursed for a few years to watch Zach LaVine do his thing in a second unit, and then goes to Sacramento. And again, like, by that point, he's already bulkier, like, gets a little more weight on, and then he's just a four. But again, like, it sucks because now he's like, maybe his time has passed. Like, who knows if it might be better off without him at some point, because the last few times he was on, like, he's still the oldest. And so it will be interesting to see if Jokic kind of defers sometimes to him, or he's finally like, okay, I'm going to do the stuff I was doing in Golden State, you know, be that useful there. I'm excited to see how it's going, because he could be really useful, but also I'm trepidatious because there can be like negative side effects to him being the oldest and most experienced on this team. Be like, hey, I want to be the main guy. So like, hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah. Also at the age of 35, he's not super mobile anymore. Yes, so yeah. it's not the great pairing next to Jokic. But we'll see. I'm sure Coach Pešić. Yeah.
Hopefully the injury today isn't like super serious. At least want him on the camp to have him as an option. Like, I don't want injuries to decide what our team is going to be eventually. So
that's right. We already lost one legend mid camp in Teodosic. I hope we will not lose in a similar matter another legend, because that wouldn't be great for the atmosphere. Okay, let's grab on the second Burek for today, and that is the favorites for this Eurobasket. We already spoke about Greece.
Yep.
So we'll speak about another three countries that in no particular order that I want to mention in this vein. First one is France. Okay. France is a very interesting thing. They have Evan Fournier, they have Rudy Gobert, they have Thomas Hertel, they have Timothy Luavu-Cabarrot, they have Tio Maledon. Friend Nilikina actually got hurt. He will not be playing at this Eurobasket. And also Victor Wembanyama, he's also not playing on the.
Yeah, I don't know what he would do there, because Gobert is still
sure he would probably be like 11th or 12th guy on this. But it would be an interesting experience for him. I would like him to get that, but I don't know what happened there. It's possibly that just his team said no. You know, we don't want to risk anything before the next year's draft or whatever. So Victor W is not playing. How do you feel about Team France? Do you feel they should be on the top of the list of favorites or not?
Yeah, on paper, like I'm gonna have them in the semifinals, losing to us, I think, because they're on. If we go number one in the bracket, like they're on paper. They might have, you know, they could very well win. Problem is, they've had these type of teams before and they never do. So as far as we talked about Spain being like by reputation, they're always taken seriously. France is, when you lose to a Spain team with like a 40-year-old Pau Gasol being the main guy in Paris, when you have, I think at that point still Tony Parker might have been playing in, yeah, it's 2015, yeah. And Gobert and all these, like a stacked team, and you still lose to Pau Gasol with like gray hair. Like it was basically retired at that point, and he was still dominating you. That's why you have to still earn it. Like, again, the same thing for us. Like, we have to earn it. We haven't won a gold.
That's right. That's right. We haven't won a gold in 20 years.
Yeah. So that them is like, yeah, I see him on paper, but I don't know. We'll see. It's interesting. Who's the next? Slovenia?
Yeah, Slovenia. Slovenia. So Luka.
What do you think about France? Are you same on my page?
Or? Yeah, I'm similar like you. France had, like, on paper, a much better team than Serbia for several years, and they never beat us. So,
did they? No, they didn't. Yeah,
I don't think they
can't
did.
Remember,
but what happened back in 2005?
Well, that's way back. I'm talking about recent.
Yeah, years yeah, generation. Yeah. Maybe then. I don't remember.
I think we were always on the other side of them because we played that 2015 was. I think they might have beat us for bronze because it was Spain and.
No, that was Lithuania. That was Lithuania.
Lithuania beat us, but then on the other side, I think Spain beat them in the semis.
Oh, you might.
And then they beat us for the bronze. Maybe that
might be right. Yeah, you might be right. That's right. That's right.
But they lost like really comfortably to Spain, and Spain then won against Lithuania in the final, I think. And it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I still want him to. I still need to see it to completely believe it. Because again, it's you can throw as much money into player development, and you can have good generations, but so far. I mean, I think Thomas Hertel made like catastrophic like mistakes, you know, this year in EuroLeague for Real Madrid. I think against Unix Kazan, like just turnovers, like second grade style turnovers in the clutch. So like, I want to see them in the clutch. And obviously, if they don't even get to the clutch minutes, if they're that dominant, fine. But I really want to see that. They were good in the Olympics, like they won the final. So. It'd be really interesting. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Next up, Slovenia. So this guy called Luka Doncic, I guess he's pretty good. Yeah. They have Goran Dragic back after how many years of not playing? Now he's back.
Well,
he's
probably five. I think 2017 they won the gold and he didn't play since then.
Yeah, he's 62 now, but still a great player. They have Mike Toby, American guy who is
Virginia
a
baby.
Yeah. He used to play for Real Madrid, right? This is
how I don't know. I know. I watched him in Virginia. He was
He's a really good player.
He was great.
A lot of guys look really good next to Luka.
Right? He was crazy. He was partying with them, singing like songs in Serbian and stuff. It was funny as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. I have him. It's interesting because they're in the same group as France. And if that happens,
I haven't mentioned all of the guys. Listen, this guy, Vlatko Čančar.
That's fair. Yeah.
Fourth guy, Vlatko Čančar. What are we doing? Vlatko Čančar is a superstar on the Eurobasket. And then we have Zoran Dragic, who is Goran Dragic's brother, who is excellent player, excellent point guard. And they have Clement Prepelic, who killed Serbia back in 2017.
But then didn't do anything in the next fight.
And after that, he flopped against...
Because he got a Real Madrid contract and then...
And also Slovenia didn't make the finals in the Olympics because he got blocked by who blocked his shot in the last
France,
second.
Right? Someone from France.
Yeah, against France. Yeah, it was.
Batum playing?
Batum, yeah. Batum blocked his.
Is Batum playing in this team?
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Okay, oof, that's
Batum
good.
Is not playing. No.
That's good. But yeah, so it was interesting. I was filling out the bracket with a friend of mine on a different podcast. And apparently, so I have them second in that group, you know, losing to France in the group stages, but being second in the group. That means they would meet Greece in the quarterfinals if they're second in their group and Greece is first in their group. And that's like, I have them losing to Greece in the quarterfinals. And obviously I might be wrong completely, or like, they, you know, if they're first in their group, then they don't meet Greece. You know, they wouldn't meet Greece until they're on the opposite side completely. Then.
Yeah.
But that would be an interesting like twist because then you have France and you have Slovenia basically if they're going to be on the which side of the bracket because if they're first and we're first we're on the same side with Slovenia but can't meet I think until the semis so that would be also crazy meeting them in the semifinal or on the other side you would have France and Greece playing very early or Greece being second and they go on the other side that kind of stuff. Like it's very fascinating. It's like 24 teams now for me, like too much, but yeah. It's like Netherlands and Hungary and a lot of like these teams, they're just like, eh, I don't know. It's crazy. I don't think I've seen jockeying for first or second place be that important, I think, on the bracket side, because there's like seven or eight teams that are, you really don't want to meet. Like you want them to meet each other, and then
Croatia
is still there. Like, you know, they're in the downward spiral, but like I have them in the quarterfinals still. Like I still think something is going to click with them. Like I believe, and it'd be interesting. I mean, I'm excited. I'm so excited. I can't.
We should meet a really, really good team in quarterfinals. Unless, you know, somebody of those top teams completely flops and loses the top 16 game. We'll talk about it in a couple of minutes. Let's move to... by the way, I'm much higher on Slovenia than you are. I'm kind of the most
scared. I'm high. They're just in a group with France. Like,
yeah, for me, they are like the biggest obstacle for Serbia. I would be so nervous for the game against Slovenia. Because I think Luka's game is really good for FIBA basketball as well. I don't think he will lose anything moving to FIBA rules, but we'll see.
Someone asked first. It was funny. I was looking through the chat. Forgot to put it on the other side. Someone said Mikal Bridges plus Aaron Gordon signed him immediately. I didn't mean like they're as good as these guys. I'm saying that type of guys. Type of players, yeah. And someone asked in the chat too, is who's guarding Luka if they're playing against us? It's either Kalinic, I think, my Kalinic or Lucic. Like, I'm not unhappy about it. It's not you're putting
you have 10 fouls by Kalinic
and
Lucic.
But yeah, and then they're really it's physical game, and obviously no one guards Luka, but the problem is like guarding everyone else. You don't want everyone else to also like be good. So, obviously, those are tough questions, and we'll see how even if we get there, like who knows, maybe something doesn't work with us and we don't even make it. So make it that far.
Yeah, let's move to Spain. So they have a younger roster than they used to have. They have a Lorenzo Brown, who is a Red Star legend.
Yeah,
he used to play. He's now playing for Maccabi, I think. He used to play a bit for Wolves and for Raptors. They also have Rudy Fernandez, who is, I think, 55 right now.
Like a bionic elbow. So for guys that watch the NFL, it's Rob Gronkowski type elbow elbow pad. Like,
just, come on, people remember Rudy Fernandez. Come on,
but he wasn't. NBA he wasn't. Body. He was just. He didn't have that stuff. Like now, he's unbelievable. That's right. Like it's just all over. It's crazy.
Yeah. Also, Usman Garuba, who should be the defensive specialist for them. Also, Hernan Gomez's brothers, so Bo Cruz and his brother.
Yeah.
And then there's Sergio Llull, who is still like a top player in Europe.
I don't know what they're giving him in the food, but he's
so amazing.
He's so like 300 years old too, and he looks the same for like the last 20 years. And he's so quick and clutch. And he came back recently from like a big injury, his ACL or something. Yeah, it's like over 30, and just still killing it. But yeah,
I don't know.
They're not as good. I don't think they're as good. Yeah. Like I think they're losing. I think I had him an upset against Germany. That was like a long shot because Germany has some. That's like a first round of 16 or quarterfinal something. Yeah. So I think Germany, if they're France, I don't know, I get the whole team, but I think they have a decent team. And at their home, that's another thing. Like they'll play all their home games, like playoff and stuff. Spain, obviously, again, reputation, I'm giving him that. But if Juancho is like a big part of your game plan and Willy Henry Gomez, I'm not that confident.
I will not have that on the Denver Nuggets. Come on, man. Have faith in our home. Juancho.
I don't like Spain, man. I'm always against
them.
Them. Like,
I hate them. Yeah. I hate everybody but Juancho. Juancho is still my guy. I hate them.
I think Abalde is there still. I mean, he's playing. I don't know who else is on the... Well, Roby is not playing. Yeah.
No, he's not.
I don't know if he's retired or not, but he had an ACL last year, so he wouldn't be playing anyway. That's... I mean, I don't know. I don't like him, so I don't want to give him any credit.
There's one more team I want to give an honorary mention to, and that's Lithuania, because you can never forget about Lithuania. They will have Sabonis, they will have Valančiūnas, they will have Brazdeikis, who used to play in the Knicks. They have Jakubaitis, and honestly,
that kid, man,
he's really good. He's really good. Outside of those guys, honestly, I don't know anybody.
They know, you know, they can shoot like that.
Of course, of course.
That's, you don't need much. Yeah, Jokubaitis, man, Jokubaitis with two of the guys, that's going to be interesting because they had tried the two towers last time and it really didn't work. I think, no, I don't think they made Olympics either. I think that's what they lost against Slovenia.
Yeah, they lost against Slovenia.
Yeah, yes. They tried two of them and this didn't work. So I hope they like change it up a bit because I don't want to see Valančiūnas and Sabonis together. And that would be like an interesting kind of like a Milutinov and Jokic situation, like who's subbing for whom. But Jokubaitis is one of those, like, he's the next point guard for that team. Like, and they always have one that's like, okay, we have him. He'll organize us and get us an open shot. That's what we need. And if it goes, it's going to be like a Houston, Utah type of thing. Like, they're just going to bury the hoop under three pointers and you can just throw your hands up and like, give up kind of thing. But yeah, that you're right. That was a good honorable. I mean, there's a lot of things. Like, it's funny because there's a lot of teams that are good, but I think it's 24 is too much. We haven't gotten to like 12 teams that are like really, really good. Like, I don't need to see Bulgaria and Hungary and like that's Israel's right on the edge. Like, there's Finland that's okay. Like, there's Markkanen and some guys.
Oh,
like,
we'll mention some
Belgium
of
and well. Yeah, Belgium and Poland and Czech Republic. That's Czech Republic is also okay. I think they played against us. They might beat us in the group stages. I wouldn't be surprised. But it's just, again, there's, I think, too many teams for these type. This should be like a week long or like 10 days, every other day play. Like, there's, you know, groups of four, you know, round robin, two go past it. It's quarterfinals or, you know, first thing quarterfinals. You have four wins to the title and that's it. Like, overall 8 games in the tournament. Like, you don't need this many teams. And now it's weird because now it's four times six, and then four go through, but then it's knockouts right away, and it's just a weird. Europe FIBA is weird. I mean,
it's tough. It's tough. It's gonna be 9 games in total in 18 days. So, who survives that? He'll talk about it later on. So we are already 72 minutes in, and I want to squeeze in one more segment.
Oh damn! Before Adam
shuts our electricity down. So let's do one Inat moment here. And why I'm saying Inat, I think Serbia is going to need a lot of Inat in order to win this because I don't think anybody is really better than Serbia in this tournament, but I also don't think Serbia is better than these teams we already mentioned. So they'll need some special oomph in order to win the gold medal. And honestly, gold medal is the only thing that will actually make us happy. The other medals will say, yeah, it was a valiant effort. Good for them. I'm glad we got another medal in our chest, but gold is what we're aiming for. So let's see what would be the path for Serbia to get to the gold medal. First of all, we have 5 opponents in the group, and I don't know. I want to say that Serbia will be number one seed after the group, not because I feel super comfortable that they can have 5 wins in 5 games at the beginning. It's easier for me to construct the seeds after that, you know, where we go. So for the top 16, and it might be a super hard match, to be honest, I see them playing against Croatia, Ukraine, or Estonia. So those are the team I would predict will fight for number 4 seed in their respectful group.
I had Ukraine there, I think.
You had Ukraine. Yeah. I mean, I don't trust Croatia, so this is why I put them in the mix here as well, even though they're on paper a much better team comparing to these two I mentioned also. But if Croatia slips to number 4, or if Serbia slips to number 2 and Croatia goes number 3, this is a viable matchup. Croatia has Mario Hezonja time. They have Dario Saric, they have Ivica Zubac, they have Jalen Smith, who is playing in Alba in Berlin. And they also have Dragan Bender. I have to mention Dragan Bender because he is a favorite player of Dragon Boat. He used to have a podcast called How to Train Your Dragon because of Dragan Bender. And they also have the talented big in Carlo Matkovic.
Yeah, let's just imagine this. Second in that group. I had them as an upset over Italy there in that group.
Yeah, that's really possible. I don't trust Italy as well.
Yeah, but we're talking about the four seed now. Yeah, Ukraine. Yeah. I think Ukraine.
Yeah, even though Italy kicked our ass a year ago in the Olympic qualifiers,
they're not good. I don't care.
I don't think they're good. Yeah. So yeah, it's possibly. So you think it will be Ukraine, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's they have. I mean, they're for that against Great Britain and Estonia. I think Mikhailuk and Alex Len is enough. I don't know what else they have. What other players they have? I think that should be enough.
Yeah, also Artem Pustovoy, I guess, is a pretty big.
I'm assuming they have one one naturalized player. Probably, they usually do.
I haven't seen one yet, to be honest, on their.
That's fine. But, I mean, I think that's four because I don't know. But Great Britain also, like, who knows with them? Like, I don't even know who's technically from there. So it could be like a bunch of players that we.
I don't care about Great Britain.
Yeah. In Estonia, I didn't even know they were in it. So we'll see. Maybe the thing is, there's always these are weird because it's six teams in a group. So there's five games you play, and who knows, you might like mess up. But again,
you can drop to number three with only one loss. It's insanity. It's really intense.
Let's say Ukraine. Okay,
Ukraine, and we feel pretty confident about that.
Yep.
Quarterfinal. So. It will be, if Serbia is number one in their group, it will either be Turkey, who should be number two in Group A, as I predicted, or Lithuania or Germany, who I predicted would be B3.
Okay, let me see. So it's Turkey or...
Lithuania or Germany.
Okay, I think I had Lithuania there.
Lithuania, yeah. That's going to be a tough game. That's going to be a tough game because Lithuania can have a 18-0 run in 2 minutes if they hit six consecutive threes.
Yep.
That's really tough because it's like March Madness. I don't know if there are any teams that can really light up like that in March Madness, but in FIBA basketball, for sure, you can get a team scoring 6 of 6 in two minutes. And completely destroying your hopes.
I had Lithuania fourth. No, I think I had Germany on the other side. I think Lithuania. Yeah, you're right. Lithuania against Turkey. Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's Germany, we need to mention they have Dennis Schröder. They have Daniel Theiss. They have Franz Wagner. Mo is
I think Voigtmann is in there. I think he's on their team.
There are some good players there. They're good players. Yeah. Good coaches worked in Germany for the last years. Really good coaches. Especially from the Yugoslav region.
You know, those guys that are like either in German league or like some of those like German teams that are in EuroLeague, like Obst and all these guys, they're like not known, but they can do their job.
Solid players. Okay, so let's say we somehow skipped the quarterfinals. We've beaten Lithuania or Germany or whatever. Semifinals. So this is tough. So it could be Slovenia. It could be France, depending on who wins that group.
Yeah.
Either France or Slovenia.
So if France wins that group, I think we're against France, if they also win out their side. Yeah,
that's right. And on the other side, it could be also Italy or Croatia, if Croatia finished second in the group, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, all of these teams could be Serbia's opponent in the semifinals. You are mostly afraid of France or Slovenia equally
in the
right?
Semifinals. I mean, semifinals. You don't want any of those teams. Like,
of course,
whoever gets there. Like, we lucked out that 2017 with Russia. We went on the other side somehow and got Russia in the semifinals, I think, or like we got easier route. And on the other side it was Spain, Slovenia, France. Like all these teams. So it's semifinals. I don't. Whoever it is can be tough. Like. I would probably play France rather. I don't know why. I mean, I could go Bear Jokic stuff. But, and then rather than like play against Luka, because Luka freaking wins all the time. So if we're going to choose, let's go France. But, and also I would rather want to play I'd want to play Slovenia in the finals than in the semifinals, rather. Which I also think if they're the second and they play against Greece on the other side, I kind of have Greece on that side coming out. Okay. Right, we can have Greece on our side if they go, right?
Yeah, no. If they don't win out there, or we don't win out our games. Yeah. It's so many combinations. And I'm lucky, I'm happy actually about it, because if you remember the 2014 World Cup, there were two big groups. Yeah. And they've made that kind of draw so Spain could not meet US before the finals. And then we beat them in the semifinals. So F you, Spaniards.
Did we beat Spain?
Yeah, we did.
I thought that was on the other
side. No, or was it France beat them? But Serbia went to the final.
Yeah, we did. I forgot who we beat. Yeah, you're right.
You're right. France beat Spain and we beat France. Yeah, that's right. Something like that. Yeah,
but it's funny. It's always hilarious in whatever medal we won, the silvers we won in 2014 and then 2016, we were last in our group to go through to the quarterfinals.
That's right.
Both times. Like Inat, Olympics, we lost
Inat, to, Voya, yeah, this Olympics, is the name of the second.
Yeah, Olympics lost to Australia, France, and America in the group stages, got out our fourth, beat Croatia, and then got freaking Australia in the semifinals and just ruined their lives.
That was such an unlucky break for Croatia, man. They've been number one in their group for the first time in like forever, and then they meet Serbia in the quarterfinals. Yeah. Really bad break.
But yeah, the 2014 was the same way. We lost. Greece was number one in their side because that was, I think, multiple. It wasn't just two groups. I think it was like four of four or something like that. And we played Greece in the quarterfinals, and that's what the dunk I mentioned, and then we played the other, forgot who else. But
even back in 2002, and that's the World Cup I'm always bugging Adam and guys about, Yugoslavia was number three in their group and had to play Team US in quarterfinals because of that. So Inat is a big part of this, so tune in and watch Serbia, help us together win this gold medal. It would mean a world to Nikola Jokic. It would mean a world to everybody who is crazy about basketball. And frankly, to everybody in Serbia who is not crazy about basketball, but will hop on the hype
train. Bandwagon, yeah. Let's for do it. Sure, yeah, the bandwagon. I haven't been here in a while. So that's why we talked a little bit more. I didn't know. Honestly, I should have seen the script beforehand just to see how many segments. Someone asked us, do we know Poku?
We do, and Poku is not playing on the...
Yeah, but it's also the last name of the... So Boris Pokushevsky said that, so I don't know if... shares the same name.
Cool.
So yes, we know. But yeah, no, Jovic, and we didn't say that Jovic and Pokushevsky didn't get a lot. We might have mentioned it. It's a long show.
Did mention it yesterday or week before that. Yeah, so it's not a big of a deal. I mean, I would love to have our young guns with the team as well, at least to get some experience with the older guys. But
there'll be time.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for staying with us for these 83 minutes long. And I'm so happy Adam didn't turn off our electricity, so we managed to finish this off. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.